Jeremiah 4 and verse number 14. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Verse 17. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. In verse 19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Lord, give us a heart of compassion like the prophet Jeremiah. Help us, God, to see people as you see people, to love people as you have loved and continue to love them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated tonight. A heart of compassion. Jeremiah is our next legend that we study out this evening. The old prophet from the Old Testament cared so deeply for his people and was so pained by their wickedness, he became known as what? The weeping prophet. He had a fervent love for the lost, and at one point in time, his ministry was so difficult, he contemplated quitting. He could not keep himself, however, from proclaiming the word of God. He was loyal to his Lord. He was faithful to preach, and he was compassionate to his people. Jeremiah bore the burden of caring for people who did not care. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? To help somebody who doesn't try to help themselves. And that's exactly what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah was truly a person who cared. He showed that in his heart and his actions. And tonight we're going to look at his life and learn from a man who was not ashamed or afraid to care about others. The prophet Jeremiah ministered in Israel's, and the nation of Judah specifically, during the last 40 years of their history. In spite of his faithful preaching of the word of God, Jeremiah watched the nation slowly decline until eventually Judah was taken captive by the Babylonians. Jerusalem and the temple were both destroyed. He expressed his grief very vividly in a book that we know as Lamentations. He was a priest called to be a prophet. He was a sensitive man called to confront kings, prophets, and hypocritical priests. He was bold before men, but broken before God. That's a wonderful way to live your life, isn't it? Bold before men, but broken before God. And we call him the weeping prophet. To understand better this book and the person Jeremiah, let's try to put ourselves in the time of this young prophet. Jeremiah was born. You could say things weren't very spiritual when he was born. Jeremiah was born during the reign of a king, a wicked king, the most wicked king Israel ever had, a man named Manasseh. Manasseh was a very wicked man. Just to give you an idea of what things were like during that time, the Bible tells us that Manasseh took his children and made them pass through the fire. Or in other words, he offered his children in a sacrifice to these false gods, a burnt sacrifice. That's the type of ruler that Jeremiah was born under. So things, let's just say it wasn't the most popular thing to obey and honor the true God when you had a leader like Manasseh. 60 years after the death of Isaiah, God calls Jeremiah to what some believe to be the hardest task any minister has ever been called to do, because he was fighting a losing battle. His ministry from the beginning was destined for failure. God already told Jeremiah that they weren't going to listen, they weren't going to change, they had already made up their minds, and their destiny was written. In essence, they were already gone. Can you imagine God calling you to a city, to, let's say, to plant a church or to start a ministry? And he said, I want you to go to that city, but I'm going to tell you up front that no one is going to be there, that no one is going to come. No matter how faithful you are to preach and to work and to serve, it's never going to make a single difference in the lives of the people that you're preaching to. They're just going to stay the same. That would be hard to do, wouldn't it? Hey, Pastor Nate, I'm calling you to go plant a church, and but no one will come, but go plant it anyways. I'd rather not, Lord. You know, I'd rather, I'm going to go with a different option. Are you sure? Can I pray again? And, you know, spin the wheel, give me another one, God. From the very beginning, he told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, they're not going to listen. Here's exactly what's going to happen. At the end of your ministry, you will watch the nation of Judah fall into complete idolatry. They'll decline and continue to decline until finally the Babylonians will come in and they'll take them captive. But go anyways. No one will believe you, but go ahead and go. And you wonder if God knew, because he did, he's omniscient, right? He knew that they wouldn't repent, they wouldn't respond. Why would he send Jeremiah anyways? I think it just goes to show, and we see this example throughout all Scripture, the entire Bible, that even when people won't repent, we're studying this in the book of Revelation, aren't we? Very often, even when people won't repent, God still provides a way of repentance. Even though he knows they won't, he still provides a way. I think that speaks to the faithfulness and love. Now listen, we're talking about having a heart of compassion of a prophet named Jeremiah. You know where he got his heart of compassion? From a compassionate God. God said, I'm going to send you anyways, Jeremiah, because I love them and I care for those people. God was so faithful, he continued to give them a witness through the prophet Jeremiah. A few things we learn about his life. The first thing we learn, number one, is that he had a love for the lost. He had a love for the lost. There's a song, I don't even know the name of the song that I hear on the radio. I used to hear it a lot more often. It's kind of old now. But in that song, the person singing says, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see. And Jeremiah saw people the way that God saw people. He had compassion the way that God has compassion on people. Of all the prophets of God, there is no doubt Jeremiah had great compassion for the people that he was preaching to. Again, he's known as the weeping prophet. And he was greatly affected by the backsliding and sin that surrounded him. But unlike many others, he didn't allow himself to become calloused by this. Which also, that's hard to do. If you're preaching and you're witnessing and you're witnessing and they're just not getting it, and it doesn't seem like there's any change or any even a hint of accepting what you're saying, eventually you just kind of, okay then, fine, you know? And you feel as if, you know, well, I did my part. But Jeremiah continued. And the first time he went out, and there was no response. And then he went again and again and continued to go, because God called him to do. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, he once said this, and he wrote a letter with these words: can all the Christians in England sit still with folded arms while these multitudes in China are perishing? Perishing for lack of knowledge, for lack of that knowledge which England possesses so richly, which has made England what England is and made us what we are. What does the Master teach us? Is it not that if one sheep out of 100 be lost, we are to leave the 99 and seek that one? But here the proportions are almost reversed, and we stay at home with the one sheep and take no heed to the 99 perishing ones. Do we have that love for the lost like Jeremiah had? He was moved first in his heart. Look down to Jeremiah 4:19 again. I read it in our opening passage, but listen to the words of this prophet. You really will not find this in other places of Scripture from other men other than Jeremiah. This type of the type of words and verbs that he uses when describing. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. He says, my heart maketh noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. He said, I am pained at my heart because God has showed me that war is coming to my people. And we're not going to survive, but we're not going to be able to overcome this. We're going to be taken captive. I hear the alarm of war. He said, it hurts me in my heart. I see it. God has showed it to me. What we see greatly affects our heart, doesn't it? Jeremiah saw his brothers and sisters turn away from the Lord. And he's maybe a phrase that we would say, it's killing me inside. Our hearts are affected by our eyes. It was this way with Christ in the New Testament, wasn't it? Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It says, when our Lord saw those, he had compassion. You know, it's kind of, we mentioned, I spoke about going on a mission trip in Sunday school this morning, and we were talking about going, trying to be a blessing, and you return being blessed. But you know, what I heard people say before, and what I've told people after going on a mission trip, is you have to go. I can't explain it to you. You just have to go on one. I could show you pictures, I could share stories, and I can preach about it. But until you see it for yourself, my eyes have affected my heart. Jeremiah says, I have seen it. God has showed me your end. And he says, it is tearing me up. He's begging them, repent, please. I've seen what's coming. He had such compassion that he physically hurt in his heart. You ever been there with somebody that you love? Something happens and you feel as if you're physically hurting because of what has happened. And I wonder, when was the last time, if ever, that we have shed a tear over the lost? Have we ever prayed and cried, God, please save somebody this week. Please, Lord, use me in somebody's life. Have we ever begged God for a sinner to come to repentance? Jeremiah poured out his heart because of what he saw. But you know, it wasn't enough that Jeremiah was moved in his heart, and the same could be said for us. It's one thing to be emotionally stirred by something, but you have to be moved in your heart, which causes you to be moved into action, right? If you're truly moved in your heart, then you'll do something about it. He was moved in his heart, so he was moved in his actions. The message he was preaching here was a hard message. Jeremiah battled with delivering this message because he wasn't going to the people saying, we're all okay and everything is well, you know. He wasn't given a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Man, that would be easy to do. Wouldn't that be nice just to go around and tell people, hey, you know, everything's going to be okay and Jesus loves you no matter what and he's got all this stuff for you, and if you just pray really hard, he's going to give you a bunch of stuff too. I get a lot more amens, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not here. You guys would boo me out of the pulpit, I would guess. I'd hope you'd kick me out. Jeremiah was coming with a hard message. Listen to the internal battle that Jeremiah was facing, that was going on inside of him. In Jeremiah 20:29, this is a verse that I have held pretty close to me. Jeremiah 20 and verse 29, he says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I decided I'm not going to say anything. I'm done talking about it. He said, but when I did that, I decided not to make mention of him or speak his name, but his word was in my heart, burning inside, that I could not help but to let it out and tell somebody about it. And do we have that type of compassion toward the lost? We often, maybe the opposite happens. We'll look for any excuse possible not to share Christ, right? Well, they looked at me funny, so they probably don't want to hear, you know? Well, I got something to do in 3 hours. I better not. I'll be late, you know? I might get a flat tire on my way. And we look for excuses. Jeremiah tried to stop, and he said, I tried to quit, and I couldn't stop. It reminds me of what Peter and John told the hostile authorities in the book of Acts, Acts 4:20. They told them to quit preaching, didn't they? They stopped sharing the gospel. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I can't help but talk about Jesus. I can't help but tell people about what he has done for me in my life and my family in this church. I try to stop, but I can't, right? Jeremiah had a love for the lost. Secondly, Jeremiah had loyalty to the Lord. He was loyal to his Lord to share what God told him to share. In Jeremiah 42 and verse 4, it says, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you, behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever the thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep back nothing from you. They come to Jeremiah because, man, it's like, Jeremiah, let up, bud. I mean, okay, we get it. We're going to be destroyed. All right. They said, will you go to the Lord on our behalf? Will you say something to God for us? Jeremiah said, sure, I'll say something to God for you. And whatever he answers me, I'm going to tell to you. Because I know what you're really asking. Will you give us a different message, Jeremiah? Whatever God tells me, he says, that's what I'm telling to you. I will keep nothing back from you. That's compassion, by the way. I'm not going to keep it back from you. I'm not going to withhold it from you and just not tell you because it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. I will keep nothing back. You know, it's one thing to maybe sit in a sanctuary and say, you know what? We just got to preach the whole council. Preach it all, Pastor Nate. Every single word we want to hear. It's another thing to get up and do it, right? You know, as a staff guy down in Chillicothe, Pastor Ryan, get up. And man, he would just start lighting into some things. And I'm like, yeah, preacher, tell him, you know. And I'm sitting out there in the sanctuary. Amen, preacher. I was always a little behind in my amens. It took me a few seconds to catch up. So it was kind of awkward sometimes. They'd hit the point. Amen. And then I'd come in. And it's like, what's... Anyways. But I was, yeah, preacher, get him. And he'd ask about certain things. And I'd be like, yeah, preacher, just preach on it. Preach it. We need to hear it. Then it was something different when I got up in the pulpit. And I knew some of the sins that the people of the church were struggling with. And then I came across that in my study. And I thought, you know what? I know if I say that, they're not going to be happy that I say that. It's different saying, you can do it, than getting up and saying, doesn't matter what you're doing, what sin you're in, it's the whole counsel of God, and I'm going to preach it no matter what, right? Jeremiah said, I will hold nothing back from you. There's another prophet, Micaiah, in the Old Testament. Very similar sounding. 1 Kings 22, in verse number 8. Here was a prophet, again, also a man loyal to the Lord. he had the same mindset that Jeremiah has. It says, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man." Now, he doesn't like this guy, by the way. See, they're looking for a prophet. And he says, "Don't you have a prophet?" He said, "There's yet one man." "But I don't like him," is what he goes on to say. And this man, this prophet, again, I love it. It's almost like he and Jeremiah were buddies or something, and they talked about this. "But there is yet one man, Micaiah." And he goes on to say that this one man, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, is what he says. "But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." He said, "There's one prophet left, but I don't like him, because no matter what, he always says something bad about me." Now, this was a sinful king that was saying this. It's like, instead of being mad at the prophet, just clean your life up, king. But they said, "No, let's go get him anyways." So verse 14, Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth," here's what he says when they come to him, because he knows what they want. "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." That's what I'm saying to you. What did Jeremiah say? "Whatsoever the Lord declares unto me, I will hold nothing back from you." Man, that's boldness and passion right there. In the face of adversity, whatever he says, that will I speak. Jeremiah was clear that he would only speak what the Lord told him to. He was loyal to share the word of God. He was loyal to share in his tribulations. Jeremiah went through a lot as a prophet. We're told in Jeremiah 38:6, it says, "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire," or mud, muck. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Why do you think he was thrown into prison? Because they didn't like what he was saying. And yet, even in prison, I wonder if Jeremiah would have hollered up and said, "Hey, I changed my mind. I'm done preaching. You're right. God bless you all." And they probably would have drew him out of there. But Jeremiah was loyal to the Lord even in those tribulations. He's thrown into prison. He's in the mud of a dungeon, and yet he's still faithful to the Lord. You can be in the mud of a prison and still be faithful to God. You know, there's different stories that you read about of churches around the world who really are, they do not enjoy the same freedoms that we do. And they face a lot of persecution, physical violence that comes against them. If you read about some churches in Russia, you read about some churches in China and in Korea, some of these churches that are secret churches, they have to meet in homes because it's illegal to have a certain faith or religion. And so they have to keep it secret just so that they can keep their life or keep the church going and keep leading people to the Lord. But one story that I read about involved a house church in a city in the former Soviet Union. There was a small group of believers who were gathered. They were afraid to carry Bibles, so they memorized large sections of the New Testament and recited scriptures to each other. Each week, at different times, what they would do, because they didn't all have Bibles as we do, I have, I don't know how many, they would take those portions of scripture and they would rip out pages and they would send them home with somebody. You would go home that week, you would memorize your page, you'd bring it back, and then you'd trade your page with somebody else. Man. And so they would come to this church, and each week they would arrive at the house at different times to avoid arousing the suspicions of KGB informers. On one particular Sunday, the church members were all safely inside the building with the windows closed, the doors locked. They began the service by softly singing a hymn and praying. And although they were singing that hymn softly, you can imagine were singing it very passionately. And yet suddenly the door burst open and two soldiers armed with automatic weapons walked in. One shouted, "All right, everybody against the wall. If you wish to renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, you can leave now and no harm will come to you." Two or three church members left, and then another. They said, "This is your last chance," the other soldier warned. "Either turn your back on this Jesus of yours or stay and suffer the consequences." Another member left. Two more covered their face in shame and slipped out into the night. No one else moved. Parents with small children trembling beside them, looking down reassuringly. They fully expected to be gunned down on the spot, or at the very least, imprisoned. And after a few moments of silence, the soldiers closed the door. They looked back at the church members left standing against the wall. One of them said, "Keep your hands up, but this time in praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, we too are Christians." He said, "We were sent to another house church several weeks ago." And then the other soldier added, "We were sent to arrest believers, but instead we were converted. We're sorry to have frightened those who left, but we have learned that unless people are willing to die for their faith, they cannot be fully trusted." Jeremiah was willing to die for his faith. He did die for his faith. He was cast into prison. He was persecuted. He was mocked. You can imagine the type of things that Jeremiah faced on a day-to-day basis, and yet he remained loyal to the Lord. He had love for the lost, loyalty to his Lord, and number three, the light of his life. You know, there seems to be different themes for different men in the Bible. John the Baptist was a man who really the theme of his life was announcing the Messiah is coming. Jeremiah, on the other hand, if you kind of gave him a theme, it would be this: mercy and faithfulness. As he preached the words that are recorded from Jeremiah, you see those two things reflected over and over again: mercy and faithfulness. The book of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21 says this: "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Every day they are new. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies. Jeremiah pleaded with the people. Listen, God could wipe you out right now, but He's putting it off. He's giving you a chance. The trumpet is sounding, but it's not here yet. The alarm of war is coming, but you still have time. God is merciful today. He's merciful to give you another chance. Jeremiah often spoke of the mercy of God, but you know, he did more than that. He himself was merciful to the people of Israel. How easy it would have been to give up on Israel. You know, you have another prophet in the Old Testament named Jonah, who God sent to a people. And he had maybe the greatest revival in the Old Testament. And he ends the book sour and mad. Mad why? That they repented and God didn't destroy them. That was the prophet God used. And we don't get to hear the rest of Jonah's life and what happened. I think maybe the Lord did a work on him. Jeremiah, on the other hand, is preaching to people who don't repent. And instead of having maybe the same mindset of Jonah, "Well, I hope the Lord just destroys you," instead he had the opposite. It was mercy and compassion. He cared genuinely for people. It's easy to fake care for people. It's easy to fake compassion. And then as soon as they're out of your sight, you're done with them. Jeremiah didn't do that. He didn't just shrug it off when he went home that night after preaching. He was still tore up. It would have been easy to give up on Israel because of their sin. But he prayed, he wept, and he pleaded with his countrymen to come back to God. You see, Jeremiah is just as sensitive in the beginning of the book as he is in the end of the book. Mercy and also faithfulness. Look again in Lamentations 3:23. It says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Jeremiah knew he had a faithful God, and so Jeremiah was faithful to his God. You know, there's something written about or kind of a maybe a phrase that's used or used to be used of soldiers. They called certain soldiers summer soldiers or sunshine patriots. The sunshine patriot will, in crisis, shrink from service of his country, but he that stands it now deserves the love and the thanks of man and woman. It's kind of like in what we would call a fair weather fan of a sports team. When everything is going fine, you root for them. When they're doing bad, maybe like the Cavs will tonight, you don't watch the game, right? This was not the case with Jeremiah. He was faithful in hardship. He was deprived. He was in prison. And Jewish tradition states that Jeremiah was sawn in half and remained faithful to the end. So this prophet, who showed nothing but mercy and compassion to these people, he's preaching to them, the ones that he loves. He's pouring out his heart. He's weeping. He's known. He's given the nickname because of his compassion and his sensitive nature to weep over these people, called the weeping prophet. And how is he repaid? He's sawn in half. All the way until the end, Jeremiah is faithful. We can learn a lot from this man. Jeremiah was a phenomenal example of a man whose heartbeat was in rhythm with the heart of God. God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. God, help us to see people as you see people. Not to see them as someone who cuts us off in traffic or who gets in front of us in Walmart or takes a good cart, not the squeaky wheel. Lord, help us to see people as a soul and to see the value of individual souls. Still remember a sermon I heard preached by a man named Jeremy Griffith, pastor down in Washington Courthouse. He came and spoke in Chillicothe one time, and I just still remember it was something about the way he said it, but he kept pleading from the pulpit. He kept saying, God, show us the value of a soul. Lord, show us the compassion and the value of one individual soul. Every soul is important to God. Jeremiah cared for every single one of his countrymen. God spoke to Jeremiah. He received the word of God with personal passion and fervor. Deep in the heart of Jeremiah, God instilled a great love for the lost. I challenge you tonight, church, search your own heart. Do you have a compassion for the lost? Do you care where someone will spend eternity? Do you have a burning desire as Jeremiah did? He said, I tried to keep it in, but my bones hurt and it burst out like fire to tell others about the Lord. Do we have that compassion? May God give us His heart. Would you stand with me tonight? As you stand, I invite you to bow.